Please go to FastEddiesBonAir.com. This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great, but I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really...
This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Vacation edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. When you hear Johnny Cash singing that song, it means it's time for Scott Sherman to step up to the microphone and join us for a little legal advice and legal analysis as well. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Great, Paul. I am so glad to be back in this studio and to be back on the air with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's great to see you and nice to talk to you. I think the first thing we need to talk about is the people in this town who are still so bitter about Stan Kroenke taking his ball and going home to Los Angeles. The Rams fans, particularly those who are PSL holders in the Dome, they now have a personal seat license that doesn't license them to do anything, right?
Well, Stan Kroenke is a big fat jerk. I mean, that is as clear as it can be. Okay. So let's get this clear. Stan Kroenke is a big fat jerk.
I hate when you throw in the legalese that I don't quite understand.
That is right. From Justice, I think Oliver Wendell Holmes quoted that.
All right.
Not only is he a big fat jerk, but when he took his team and left, he had, in every respect legally, the right to do that, whether or not those other scoundrels that are National Football League owners agreed or not.
Mm-hmm.
It just would have been messy. It would have been drawn out, and they wouldn't have been able to extract whatever it is that Stan Kroenke is going to give them, i.e. money and extra value to their team. So I don't like him. I don't like the fact that the Rams left, but I'm not surprised, and it was legal. However, and there's
always a however in life.
Right. The PSL holders' lawsuits, and I think there are two of them now floating. There probably be several others. They have, in my view, 24 hours ago, they had sort of questionable merit. And I'll explain why I thought that in a second. On second look, not at what they have claimed, but at what some other courts have done with other claims of this nature, it's not 100% on the nose, but it's a little better, or at least in my view, it's a little more meritorious than yesterday.
Okay.
I thought yesterday this is just sour grapes.
All right. The attorney who has prepared this lawsuit on behalf of his brother and sister-in-law, who are both county residents who spent $1,000 on a couple of PSLs when the Rams moved here 21 years ago. This attorney, David Baum, says, quote, "It's our position that our clients are entitled to either purchase tickets for the games being played in L.A. or whatever stadium they're being played at, or to transfer their PSLs, which is a right to purchase tickets extended through March of 2025. In other words, when they bought the tickets, the Rams were supposed to be here for 30 years. That's how long the full lease was at the Dome, even though the Rams had outs at the 20-year mark. The PSLs did not, and extended to fans a chance to get season tickets with that PSL for 30 years. And now they've got 10 years left, and they feel like they've had some value pulled out from under them. Does that have merit?
This case has three key terms to the question of merit. One, license. Two, property. Three, right. Now, in the Bohm's lawsuit, they have said they have the right to do something. So you can take the word right and you can put it in big quotes. And the question is, do they have such a right? Well, usually a license is something like a ticket for a sporting event. Well, if you go to the Cardinal game or something, or a Blues game, Weiland, and you get stinking drunk and they say, hey, Weiland, beat it because you're too drunk. No, I have a right. I bought my ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Jose and the guys down at the Sky Trade Center how many people have told them about the right to be drunk at the Sky Trade Center.
Yeah.
Guess where they end up? Either in the tank Clark Street. So you have a license, you have permission to be on a property there, you have a ticket, but you don't have the right to go on the ice, to go on the field, to go do whatever you want. That's okay. Not a right.
Okay.
But as this has developed over time, there have been some lawsuits. There was a lawsuit about by a Cubs fan that was scalping tickets. Imagine that. A Cubs fan scalping tickets.
Hard to believe.
Yes. He bought 18 sets of season tickets, and they said, that's too many. You can only have six. He said, well, I have a right to buy as many as I want. They said, you can only buy six.
Mm-hmm.
Court said, he doesn't have the right. The Cubs have the right. It's their property to restrict that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a contract issue. The question becomes, what did the PSL agreement with the Rams say? Remarkably, they didn't attach it, the Bombs didn't, to their lawsuit. They also didn't quote a specific section of it that said that they could not lose their transferability right, mm-hmm. which was granted in the agreement.
It says that the Rams reserve the right to terminate the agreement and refund part or all of a PSL holder's deposit.
Yes.
Does that mean that they're guaranteed to get something back? Maybe a third of the value?
They might have that argument. It's a strong argument for 60,000 people. But I want to turn it away from LA, St. Louis to L.A., and I want to turn it from that dome, and we can call it the dump mm-hmm. down there, and the new beautiful thing that they wanted to build
mm-hmm.
was 67,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if they had decided to stay in St. Louis, build a new stadium, and these people had this right to 2025, that the St. Louis Rams, all of a sudden from an 80,000-seat facility to a 67,000-seat facility, wouldn't have said to the dump PSL owners, you got to buy new ones?
Of course they would have.
Of course they would have.
Yes.
And what do you think people would have done? Bought new ones.
Well,
because in this agreement, which remarkably no one can find now, I looked for it. I saw the Jets. I've seen the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else's says if they no longer play at the venue, this license is null and void. It's revoked.
Well, David Baum says that according to the agreement that they have, when they bought the PSL, in case the Rams don't play at the normal St. Louis Stadium, the team will use its best efforts to assure licensee the right to purchase on a pro-rata priority basis tickets for seats in the stadium where the transferred games are played. Now, I'm sure that was in case we build a new stadium in St. Louis.
That's right.
But the transferred stadium in this case is Inglewood.
Yes. Now, I'm not against or trying to dismiss right off the bat the Bohm's claim here. Because I went back, and actually, somebody did some work before I did on this and wrote a law review article about 10 years ago about licenses and PSL holders, and St. Louis University published the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at, including the Cardinals, other PSL holders. It depends a lot about what the team represented to the people who were purchasing the PSLs. Were they giving them ownership in that piece of PSL? Were they just doing a straight out contract like a credit card deal or some like a coupon? You know, hey, come buy a coupon and then the place goes out of business. Give me my money back. Well, the place is out of business. The question is, it's moving a little bit towards property right more than just straight license. If the Rams weren't clear enough about what happens if they don't play at that dome. And so at this point, it seems as though the Bombs are onto something, but it's not going to be easy. The way the courts are going to look at that is start with this. It's a license, not a piece of property. It's more like a ticket or like a right of refusal than it is like real estate. The Rams didn't give up any ownership. They really sort of lent this risk out to you. Do you have damages because it didn't go to 2025, or are you stuck because you took that risk by purchasing this, knowing that there was a possibility that either A, weren't going to play in that dump, or B, we're going to move to L.A.?
Okay, could the Rams say, and I hate to play devil's advocate here because it means I have to be on Stan Kroenke and his lawyer's side.
Yeah, Stan Kroenke, who is the human embodiment of Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, by the way.
That's very good. But couldn't the Rams say to PSL owners, look, what you bought was a right to sit in one of the seats in the dome to watch a Rams football game? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't even say, I wouldn't even tell them to say the word right. You bought an opportunity to buy a ticket
yes.
to come here. So you bought a license to buy a license.
Right.
And we would not only kick you out if you did get drunk and were acting a fool or a Packers fan or whatever else, but we are going to stop you from even doing that if we feel that you are either breaking some kind of rules or we just don't feel like it. The old sandbox rule. I'm taking my stuff. And I'm going to L.A., and the rest of you can go stick it.
Which brings me to my next question. Can Stan Kroenke and his lawyers say, you have a PSL for the St. Louis Rams. They no longer exist. This is the Los Angeles Rams now. It's a different franchise, a different club. It's run the same way, of course, but that's now a California corporation as opposed to a Missouri corporation. All you had was a license to watch a Rams game from one of the seats in the dome.
Not only can they will. I think Dan Strauss once was a manager at a place called
Sambo's. Yes.
I'm sure they had VIP Sambo's cards. Go take them somewhere else and see what they do at Denny's with that.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing. Now, I feel bad for the people, not only that bought these licenses, but especially the ones that bought them more recently, because they are transferable. Buying them thinking, hey, you know what, finally I get my opportunity. They've been around 20 years. I got another 15 or so years, and that's great. The problem is that the license versus the property interest is going to be the law and not the emotion, or in this case, not whether or not the defendant in this case is a big jerk or not, which okay. he is. So I'm on the side, legally, of the Rams, emotionally, on the fans.
Couldn't the team also say, look, when we announced that we were going to be leaving to go to Los Angeles, we shut down the sale of PSLs, and we stopped the transfer of these things, that those can no longer be processed, and that's the end of it. Or could they actually say to people, go ahead, transfer the right to sit and watch a St. Louis Rams game to somebody else. If you can find somebody who's willing to pay you for that, you can go right ahead and we don't care.
Well, that would be kind of economically beneficial for a person holding that seat. Somebody in L.A. that wants to go and get the opportunity to buy season tickets, that would be valuable. If I owned, if it was a right that
yeah, no,
I owned.
No, but I said go ahead and watch a St. Louis Rams
oh, yeah.
game.
Okay. Paul, of course you're right.
Obviously, if you could transfer this to people in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know Kroenke's going to be asking for PSLs in his new Inglewood Stadium, oh, yeah. and you know they're going to be a lot more expensive than the ones that were bought here originally in 1995 or recently in 2015.
Yeah, that's the way these teams double-dip people. You know, you can't buy season tickets unless you buy this thing.
Right.
And people are just clamoring for this thing. It's incredibly valuable. It's a problem of contract law. When you agree to this stuff, whether it's one of these point-and-click operating agreements that, you know, accept, or a credit card agreement, or whatever it is where you are not in the balance of negotiation. You were talking about this in the last hour. You are in trouble when things don't go your way.
Yeah.
And this is going to be license versus property, most likely license, then contract law, terms and conditions. They don't play in that place anymore. They don't play in St. Louis anymore. Whatever it is that you bought, you weren't scammed and lied to. You're done.
What about the other lawsuit that's been filed by people on behalf of the taxpayers and the city of St. Louis, who essentially are saying, look, you lied to us when you told us, NFL, that there was a chance that we could keep our team in our town, and we spent $16 million on the Dave Peacock and Bob Blitz attempt to convince you to build a new stadium here and stay. You did that essentially as a fraud, knowing that you were going to Inglewood the whole time. Is there any merit to that suit?
You would have to uncover the greatest conspiracy in the history of sports, and maybe you could, but aside from the standing issue about the taxpayers, the merit and the going to the heart of this, you would have to find out that Roger Goodell has somewhere on a computer some memo to somebody that says, I don't care what Peacock and Blitz do. I don't care if they come in here and they give us the greatest stadium in the history of the NFL. I don't care if they have the best proposal in the history of sports. I don't care what they say. there's no way that the Rams aren't going to L.A. Bring those fools in. Let's do a dog and pony show. And at the end, we'll screw them. Short of that, no, because you have to have what's called scienter, which is a legal term that means the legal mind to fraud someone. It may well be that the whole notion of L.A. football was always the Rams and maybe the Chargers or the Raiders.
Well, we know that because Stan 2 years ago bought that land in Inglewood and said, this is going to be the home of my new Rams stadium.
And not only that, if I can chime in a second here, you're basically saying you need, like you said, you need to find an email or something.
A smoking gun.
But when could they use the video from when they announced it and he said, this has been a process for 20 years when they looked at the lease. He said that in L.A. or in Houston. He said, we saw the clause in the lease and they weren't. So they knew this was going on for a long time. So would that be considered like a smoking gun if they could take that and say, you said it yourself?
No, because Stan Kroenke's right property interest in his Rams franchise, after the Al Davis decision back in the 1980s when they moved the team from Oakland to L.A. and then L.A. back to Oakland, the courts out there in the Ninth Circuit, which control California, were clear. The NFL teams cannot conspire against to make a block of an owner that moves a team from point A to point B that increases the value of his team, that increases it. It's called the rule of reason. It makes sense economically for Mr. Burns to move his team from St. Louis to L.A. because once he announces that, before they even pack the first jersey, that team's value goes from about $2 billion to $4 billion. And there's no one that can stand in his way if there isn't some other mechanism, like a lease. And once that lease provision that was negotiated at the beginning of this debacle back in 95 or 94, whenever they're begging the Rams or anybody to come here, when they couldn't get top tier and it triggered that year-to-year lease, that was it. It was over. It was never going to change. You could implode the place and start over, and it wasn't going to matter because no matter what you did to that dump, it was never going to get to the place the other stadiums were getting, because in 96 and 97 and 98, there was a building boom in NFL teams, and by about 2001, the Rams knew that that provision was going to trigger. Now, the fraud isn't, there's no damages. What's the fraud? Everybody who paid for season tickets got to go to a Rams game in St. Louis. They didn't take money for next year or for 10 years from now for games and keep it. They never said, we're never, ever, ever going to leave. And nobody is out one dime based on his move from a direct Rams sort of negotiation position. So is the fraud the league? Is it Roger Goodell? But I don't think, as big a jerk as the guy is, that he did anything fraudulent. He did what is called a high-end, high-stakes negotiation. And he knew that he had and was getting these pieces put into play. And it's a bad result, but it's legal.
Scott, I'm still trying to figure out how a year's worth of work and a couple of drawings cost the city of St. Louis $16 million for a couple of meetings here and there. But that Rams relocation fee, that's $550 million, that I have no idea where that goes. And I don't know how they came up with that number. Why couldn't they decide to say, you guys made a valiant effort in good faith. Here's your money back for trying to keep your team.
I'm sorry, are you talking about the National Football League?
I guess I am. Here's the legal difference. They could do that.
Not going to.
Here's the legal difference between National Football League, all the other sports leagues, and Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has an antitrust exemption. NFL does not. They have lost time and time again. 2010, there was the American Needle case where the NFL ganged up on this little company in Chicago and said, you can't make hat logos anymore because we have a deal with Reebok. Too bad. They lost 9-0. Even Justice Clarence Thomas said that they were colluding. I mean, imagine that guy said that he found that to be outrageous. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. The reason that the NFL owners knew they were going to lose is because they lost American Needle. They've lost the Davis case, and they are 32 independent competing businesses, all looking not to collude to make money together, but to get at one another, to get an advantage, to make money as a sort of trade organization. But they all want increased value. And so they couldn't block him from the move. And they're...
Well, they could have if he didn't. They didn't give him enough votes.
No, that would not have worked. That Article 32 stuff, that Rule 32 about you can't move, and if you do move, you have to pay this kind of fee, and 75%.
They could have done an Art Modell or a Jim Irsay.
That's the Al Davis thing from 30 years ago. They lost on that. That is nonsense. It is just a way to put a poison pill in so that they can extract more money if and when somebody's ready to move.
That's the $550 million is the poison pill.
That's right. And the guy that put that in there was Pete Rozelle after they lost in the Davis case. He put that in there to make it more difficult and less palatable for teams to move. That would have been challenged in court also. It probably would have been held to be antitrust. The Rams would have won. But in this case, everybody knows what they're getting paid off on. Everybody knows what their cost is. And when Kroenke decides he's going to move, here's how much it costs for the land. Here's how much it costs to build it. Here's how much I got to pay this owner. Here's how much I got to pay this guy off for. So it's money certain versus going to court. He would have won in court, but the outcome would have been uncertain.
All right.
And baseball is totally different.
Yep. We don't have time to get into the Major League Baseball thing today because I want to make sure we get to some phone calls, which is one of the primary reasons you're here, to give free legal advice.
Of course.
So I'll
move
open up
your
phone.
Team. That's my advice. But hire us as your consultant.
Yeah.
We could have done that hocus pocus for $5 million.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we, right? I could have got a video and a bunch of fireworks. I would only charge $5 million.
Was it going to be catered? It's $5 million, you know.
Yeah.
Unless there's food.
I got my Sambo's card.
Your Sambo's card.
314-969-KTRS and 1-888-550-KTRS. Those are the phone numbers you can call right now. We're going to break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll take the rest of the hour with your phone calls. If you have a legal question for Scott, keep him short, get right to the point about what your issue is, and he will try to give you some advice or at least point you in the direction of somebody who can offer you that advice. 314-969-KTRS or 1-888-550-KTRS. First, we're going to go to the roads. Tim.
Okay, they've cleared an accident that was on eastbound Highway 270 near 367. Now, traffic is running stop and go McDonald through 170. A little bit heavy in pockets out through 367. Same thing on southbound 270. It's slow to stop and go in areas from Page down through Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40 jamming now from Boyle through McCausland. Southbound 170, Ladue through Highway 40. And eastbound 40 downtown Jefferson to the Poplar. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. Get $4 in Staples rewards when you buy ink or toner for every cartridge recycled. Minimum purchase of $60 on ink, $200 on toner. Limit 5 recycled. Ends January 23rd. See store for details. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Introducing Pizza Hut's new $5 flavor menu. Any two or more of your favorites are just $5 each. It's Pizza Hut's best deal. Only at Pizza Hut.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-400-1902. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-400-1902. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-400-1902. 1-800-400-1902.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My furnace needs replacing.
Sorry, but your home insurance doesn't cover furnaces.
So what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my furnace?
I'm afraid not.
But his furnace could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield, plus components of 20 other major home systems and appliances, like like his electrical system, plumbing, refrigerator, and more. For valuable free information, go to AHS.com or call 1-800-940-4233. Home insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Life happens. Have a plan. Get a home warranty from American Home Shield. For valuable free information, go to AHS.com. That's AHS.com. Or call 1-800-940-4233. 1-800-940-4233.
Homes are selling very quickly in today's market. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group is with us. Kathy, how should buyers prepare when looking for a new home?
Well, align yourself with a knowledgeable agent team like us. Homes are selling quickly and often for above asking price. We network with other agents to find coming soon homes before they even hit the market.
Kathy Helbig, what makes buying or selling experience different with your group?
We have one of the highest selling real estate groups because we have a team of specialists dedicated to a client's individual needs, such as design and staging, marketing, and buying. Specialist.
How are you using technology to help your client?
Our clients can utilize iPad minis that are preloaded with various apps that help make the home buying process smooth and fun.
Great.
It allows for direct communication with our clients, and they have the most up-to-date information right at their fingertips.
That's fantastic. That's Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group and co-owner of Keller Williams Realty West Real Estate. She's an expert on KSDK Channel 5, and she's with us weekly on the Big 550 KTRS. Check her out online at KathyHelbigGroup.com or 314-276-SOLD.
This is Cardinal Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith, but more importantly, I'm a St. Louisan. After 19 years in Big League Baseball, I could have gone anywhere on earth. My choice? St. Louis. It's where I work, it's where I live, it's where I play. And when it comes to my business, this is the kind of place that folks go crazy for. Now, I want you to meet the people of St. Louis who feel just like me.
Hi, I'm Tom Cutis from Cutis Funeral Home, and when I was growing up in St. Louis, we had to be home when the street lights came on, and our favorite treat was a malt at the local Velvet Trees. Some things have changed. My grandkids' special treats are some warm Gus's pretzels or a frozen custard. St. Louis is still a great place to live and raise a family. That is why we at Cutis, now in our fifth generation, plan to be here for many generations to come. Cutis Funeral Homes, serving St. Louis since 1910.
Nick Scalfano here from Furniture Marketplace USA. My family and I invite you to our four-year-old furniture store in Fenton. We are all about selling affordable USA-made furniture. In fact, over 95% of our showroom is American-made. You'll find USA brands like Serta, Broyhill, Von Bassett, also Solid Woods, Amish Built, and some Missouri-made furniture that's some of the best I've seen in my 40 years in this business. Good quality, USA-made, that's affordable, that's us. Furniture Marketplace, online at yourfurnituremarketplace.com.
That's Frank Opinion. We're in Jamaica for the week. And while we're gone, I want you to never forget, just because we're not there, I'm still going to be asking you, when you're out running around, out and about, and you're looking for vehicles, even if it's the early stages, well, we don't need a car right now, but we will make Johnny Londoff part of the shopping experience. You notice I didn't say don't go anywhere else. I hear that a lot in commercials. You don't need to go anywhere else. Well, you don't need to, I guess. I'd actually encourage it, because I think if you compare dealer to dealer, guess who wins? Johnny Londoff. Of course they're competitive in price. They have to be. They're competitive in service. Of course they are. And they all have the ability and the wherewithal to pretty much offer you the same price, maybe the same sort of basic services. But they don't have Londoff's people. Only he and his people are at the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 and nowhere else. So if you want to see and visit the dealership that has changed the people's minds who used to say, I hate the car buying experience, I'd rather do anything than buy a car. They don't say that anymore. Not the ones who have had the Londoff experience. Again, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 or 24/7 at Londoff.com.
It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, vacation edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. Frank, Ian, and Dan are off with a whole bunch of our listeners in Jamaica. So I get to come in here and play for a few hours, as I only do normally on Friday afternoons. And by the way, tomorrow, when I'm here, we will have America's favorite trivia game, the Harris Challenge, the most fun you can have with your radio on, Friday afternoons at 5:15. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I'm Paul Harris. Josh Gilbert and Tim Weiland are here with me. And Scott Sherman, attorney at law, is here in the studio to give you some legal advice. Before we go to the phones, just a quick note that if you can't get through and you still have a question for Scott or a legal issue you need help with, lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
That is correct. And I want all Rams fans that are now without professional football to understand, I am empathetic. I have not watched professional football. I had a team with professional football for many years because I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hear Detroit's thinking about getting a new football team.
Yeah, maybe a professional one.
And a new economy, too.
Yeah.
Les, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you very much.
I was hit, and my car was totaled. The lady's dog got under her feet, lost control, and hit me and totaled my car.
Okay.
She was cited for reckless driving and no proof of insurance. Now, my insurance says the deductible can't come to me, but her car was financed. So is it worth taking her to small claims court or going after it all to try to recoup any of this money I lost?
Les, how much is your deductible?
I had $1,000 because it was an older vehicle.
Les, you are a crime victim.
I was the original owner, and it was...
Very good. Les, there is a form that you can fill out with the Department of Revenue. If you're a Missouri resident?
Yes.
With the Missouri Revenue, it's called a Form 1140. You fill that out. It's basically a proof of insurance form for accidents. Since you had insurance, you have no problem with that. You can fill that out and send it to them saying this woman did not have insurance and she damaged your car, may have injured you, I don't know. But then they will send her a letter saying, hey, you better respond to this. And you may be able to not only get her driver's license suspended, but you could file for money against her in small claims court. So I think that, is it worth it for $1,000? You'll win. Will you ever collect it? I don't know. But if you're looking for retribution against a woman that wronged you, get her driver's license taken until she goes out and gets insurance before the next time her dog's in her feet, she kills somebody.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, Les.
It's a Form 11. I can get that on
Form 1140. You can download it from DOR. They won't give you any money, but they will make it certain that she has her license suspended, her registration suspended until she gets insurance, and it would be proof that she was uninsured at the time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Les, thank you for calling. Here's Robert on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
Mr. Sherman, good to talk to you.
You too, Rob.
I have a quick inheritance question.
Yes, you can put us in your will.
As quick as I can. About 3 years ago, my mom, I live with my mom, who's 80, she gave me a manila envelope, said, don't open this, don't tell anyone I gave you this, put it in the safe, when I die, open it, okay? Since then, I'm the eldest, my youngest brother, we both share POA, power of attorney. He takes care of all paperwork, medical stuff, bills, stuff like that. He has done everything, which I give him credit for, that in the meantime, she had open heart surgery. She had some other medical issues. She's on hospice now here in our house. I live with her, take care of her. He has done numerous, whatever he needed to do, we needed to do to pay her medical bill, take care of her and everything.
Okay, what's in the envelope?
Or what's the, yeah.
She made me promise not to open it or tell anyone she gave it to me.
Okay, what's the question then?
Then if after she dies, I open it and... He's already done something. I don't know if it's CDs, if it's a deed to the house, if it's cash.
Got it.
She has a will. If he did anything, in the meantime.
All right, here's what I think you should do. If you don't want to open it because that was your mom's wish and you want to keep your mom's wish, don't open it. But immediately open it after her passing and take it to a lawyer who's an estate lawyer and see what's in there. And if he's done anything wrong, there may be some action against him. But if he has power of attorney, he can do certain things in her name. But if he's doing certain things that are against her will or against her, then that can be taken away from him, or he could be sanctioned or sued. So I don't know. I mean, I give you a lot of credit. You don't want to open the envelope. But what is in that envelope seems really important, and a lawyer should be looking at it, an estate lawyer.
Well, my question is, she said, don't open until after I die.
Yep, right.
If it was something involved with that he made decisions after this for her medical health and everything.
Same answer from 10 seconds ago. Open it when you feel comfortable. Take it to an estate lawyer.
Yeah,
That's it.
You need to get an estate lawyer involved here, Robert.
And what happens if he's already done something with whatever's in there.
There are ways to go against the person.
But he don't know it.
Well, there are ways to try and go after that person.
And that's what that lawyer would advise you about.
Yep. But you can't know until you open the envelope.
Robert, I'm glad you called. I want to get to a couple other calls here this afternoon. Ken, you're next with Scott Sherman. Hello.
Hey, Scott. My name's Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I started an... I don't know if it was an LLC or just a basic entrepreneurship. I was going to do an internet-based service where I was going to do sell different things on the internet, and I had an IT guy was my roommate, and he was going to help me through the whole thing, and then all of a sudden he decided he was going to move out. He found a new romantic interest, and he bailed. And so the company never came into fruition.
Okay.
So I was worried about, you know, what was going to happen. I bought the business license and... all that jazz that goes with that, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen. So all of a sudden I'm getting these tax liens in the mail talking about, well, you owe us this because you're based on what we think you might have made.
Well, if you're a member of an LLC and that LLC is out doing business, until you're no longer a member of the LLC, you are going to have to address what that LLC may have been up to. If you think that your former partner was out running a business without your knowledge, that's something
nothing like that.
How much, tax liens for an LLC that wasn't operating doesn't seem...
I don't know that it was a tax lien. It was based on your sales type thing from the state.
All right.
And the state said, how much was it?
I
made this amount of money. And so I wrote them a letter back and I said, not only did this company not come into fruition, I didn't take a tax write off. I did not. All I did was give you money to make a company that didn't happen.
Yeah, in other words, you got licensed, but the company never happened. There should be no liability
there at all. If you're not doing any business, you don't owe anything. And so that estimate, you don't have to pay. You can contact them. You can challenge it.
I did. I wrote them back, and I said, not only did I not.
So what happened?
I didn't have an inventory.
Okay, when you wrote to them, what did they say?
They wrote back talking about, that's not how you cancel business with us.
It sounds like this LLC needs to be dissolved. And whoever either started it or another business lawyer could probably have it dissolved so that this problem doesn't happen again.
That's the.
It's a simple kind of filing with the Secretary of State.
Yeah, it sounds like a paperwork thing. You need somebody to do that for you, Ken.
Actually, I thought that what my response to them was going to cancel everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, I told them, not only did I not make any money, I didn't carry an inventory.
Yeah. They also will administratively dissolve if you don't file certain documents. But the thing is, if you don't want to be involved in this thing anymore, have it administratively dissolved. It's filing paperwork. Missouri Secretary of State has a very good website. Go there. They can talk you through it. If not, there's lawyers that'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, Ken. Thanks for calling. Lucas, you're next on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
Great, Lucas.
Hey, I've actually wanted to do this for years. I am AM and PM, for starters.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to try and make this quick. I'm actually having an issue with my landlord. A new company bought out our property, and the issue's kind of been, I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I don't know if you know, it's really freaking cold here. The new landlord, my heater has gone out, and so he keeps asking for rent. This debate's gone on for about a month now. And I keep telling him, my check is on top of the heater. Fix the heater and you get your check. Well, now he's saying, well, I don't want to have to write you a 5-day eviction notice, but I will if I have to. Is there any way I could not pay my rent till I get this heater fixed?
This situation comes up. I say no. You can put it into some sort of escrow, but if you don't pay your rent, then you are subject to eviction based on the term of the lease. Now, there is a thing called constructive eviction where it is so bad, the conditions are so bad in the property that you are forced out and you should not then have to pay, but you would have to vacate the premises.
But doesn't even that landlord, Scott, have a legal obligation to provide heat and electricity and all the basics?
I live right on Lake Michigan, so it's cold.
It's cold. It's part of the agreement that this will be habitable. But if you're staying there, you have to pay. If it's not habitable, you have to leave. You can sue the landlord, go get an estimate from an HVAC person, heating company, come out, come out and hire him and have it fix it, send the bill to the guy, or sue the guy.
Ooh,
for
that's
that.
A good one. That's a good one.
Or sue the guy for that. It does have to be habitable, but you can't just stay and say, I'm not paying until you fix A, B, and C. The problem is that of inequity in the negotiation on the lease. The leases are written by the landlords.
Mm-hmm.
The tenants have to pay. And if you violate that term, even if a really good reason, they're going to get you out. Now, they may not get money from you. Here, you might not have, Lucas may not ever have to pay another dime in rent. But if that landlord, even if they're a jerk, goes in and gets possession, then the sheriff's going to come and put Lucas's stuff in Lake Michigan. And then he's not going to be able to do anything until the spring.
But the bottom line here, I'm guessing, is that this guy wants you to continue living there, and you want to continue living there, and the condition for those two things to happen is for you to pay the rent. But for you, the condition is, okay, I will pay the rent, but you got to come fix the heat. Those apparently are two parallel ideas. Right.
Unless Lucas said it's so cold, it's so cold I'm leaving, I'm getting a new place that has heat, go ahead and sue me, and when I come to court, I'm going to have pictures of a thermometer showing the judge that it was 35 in the place, and I'm getting double back my deposit, and you're not going to get anything. But you can't stay for free, even if in an igloo.
There. All right. Well, Lucas, that's where we have to end it because we're all out of time, and I'm glad you called. Again, if you want to get legal advice from Scott directly outside of the show, he's here every Thursday in the 4 o'clock hour, but you can always email him, lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
That is correct.
All right. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with
you. Thank you. And I'm going home. I'm opening up every manila envelope in my house.
And turning the heat back on.
And turning on the heat.
That's a good idea. It's 4:56. Next hour, we'll find out about this new planet that astronomers may have found. We just got rid of a planet 10 years ago, and now apparently there's a new ninth planet. We'll find out about that, plus Mike Evans, plus today's new batch of knuckleheads in the news, which I will tell you right now is almost all Florida. Almost. Not entirely. That's ahead here on the Big 550 KTRS. First, Tim, how do the roads look?
Well, they're getting much busier. Northbound 55, you are backed up from the ramp of 44 up to the Poplar Street Bridge downtown. Eastbound 40, still right around Jefferson to the Poplar. Northbound 170, we have some slow traffic from Natural Bridge up through Airport Road. It is stop and go on southbound 170, and that's from about Olive through Forest Park Parkway, and then it's just a little slow area here and there down through Highway 40. Looks like no change on eastbound 270, McDonald through 170. And on westbound 40, again, we are slowing from Highway 270 through Maryville Center. This traffic report brought to you by Burger King's flame-grilled chicken burger. Like burgers, like chicken, then you'll love the new flame-grilled chicken burger from Burger King. And right now, they're just two for $5. The new flame-grilled chicken burger only at Burger King. Restrictions apply. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Insurance. Gotta have it. Hassles. Don't need it. That's why you should call Weiss Insurance, the insurance shopping center. They represent many different companies and obtain multiple quotes, so you don't waste hours on the phone. They will save you money on your home, auto, business, health, and life insurance. Call Weiss Insurance at 855-55-WEISS and find out how much time and money they can save you. 855-55-WEISS. Weiss Insurance, your insurance shopping center. Online at Weiss, spelled WEISS-INS.com.
It's Frank. Thank you for not hating us while we're in Jamaica. I've been thinking a little bit about Schaefer because I knew I was going to talk to you about Schaefer. And every time I say Schaefer, I personally think about deer. I don't think about backing into a pole or a fender bender in an intersection. Deer, because I think I've had vehicles in Schaefer. Well, I know I have because of deer. More than I have because of somebody else who's either an incompetent driver or because I was an incompetent driver and made a mistake. That's a stinking deer. And they say, you know, pot-bellied pigs are smart and horses are supposed to be smart. What's the IQ of a deer? What, two? They're stupid. They want to get hit. No, they do. It's like, hit me. They stare at you. Well, when they do that, you do what you have to do. You got to take them out. And, of course, to do it, you take part of your vehicle out, too. No problem. In fact, where we are now, Jamaica, that's what they say. No problem, man. I'd be the perfect location for a Schaefer Auto Body, because that should be their slogan. No problem. I think their slogan is, like it never happened, because that's exactly what it'll be like it never happened. That's how good they are. 10 locations, I'm sure more to come. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, Schaefer Auto Body Center, SchaeferAutoBody.com.
St. Louis is in the grips of a heroin epidemic. And you might find yourself in a situation where somebody you love is addicted to heroin. Where do you turn? This is something you've never even contemplated. That's why ARCA Midwest is here to help. 314-645-6840. ARCA Midwest has helped hundreds, and they can help you. But you've got to make the phone call, 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
Do you like spicy, smoky, and crispy chicken?
Of course you do.
KFC has a new Nashville hot chicken that's spicy, smoky, and crispy, and has an authentic flavor straight from the Music City. Enjoy signature cannolis.